The word crystal or crystalline has constantly occurred in the description of this planet and its dwellings. So first, because of its importance, let us find out what a crystal is. Your Earth scientist is still experimenting with many zero-F the mysterious qualities which are found only in crystals. These structures always seem to have a predetermined and inflexible quality of intelligence in their reactance against, or with, certain types of energy frequencies. The Earth scientist has learned that he can grow crystals in his laboratory in some large glass jar with the proper solution of chemicals and electrical stimuli. He has found a means to grow crystalline structures which best suit his need. The whole group classification of such crystalline structures, whether they are found in gems, or any other manner or form, were in themselves a certain type of a dimension. In other words, here again is the infinite God expressing in a finite way. Another comparison would be to say that certain elemental structures such as carbon in expressing themselves in a physical dimension will, as part of their reverse cycle, express themselves in a spiritual dimension, and so the carbon becomes the diamond. In our world and dimension we have learned how to direct energy in a, shall I say, crystalline dimension. In other words, as in our buildings, these structures are literally grown, somewhat like plants or flowers. In this case, however, the radiant energies are so directed and controlled by our minds as to become such structures. In the case of a plant, the roots take up water and other earth elements once they are taken by capillaric attraction into the leaf structures. Here, with the combination of certain catalytic substances and energies from the sun's spectrum, they are converted into sugars and cellulose, this process being under the direct control, and a part of, the green life cells which you call chlorophyll. So we in a sense become the chlorophyll as we take in and direct the radiant energies, used and combined, which are found in the atmosphere about us. These are converted into the tiny crystals, which in turn grow into larger ones, and thus are so directed as to assume the shapes which are useful to us. I might point out that there is a similar process in whatever other substances whose use are essential in our way of life. As you will see in the pavilion which is about you, and in all the radiant beauty which is reflected from these crystal structures, so likewise, while it may seem miraculous to you and your fellow Earthmen, we can also look upward and obtain glimpses into other worlds and dimensions which are just as miraculous to us in a direct comparison. In our next transmission I will attempt to confine our contact to continued and factual viewing, and a description of this viewing, of our planetary way of life. I will remain in constant attendance until further contact. Malva Chapter 14. Greetings again, brother. As I have seen your light flashing in my mind I know that we are again in contact. Yes, indeed, you are right, and I am glad that it is so, that you are beginning to see much more clearly and especially my people. I was with you when you were peeking in one of the doorways a short while ago, and I believe that you are partially conscious of what was going on, as well as seeing those who were participating. This is the room, and you were attracted to it, I believe, by the soft blue radiance with which it seems to be filled. I notice also that you are seeing a number of my fellow Venusians who are seated around the room in meditative positions. You are also beginning to see my brothers as they really are, that they are appearing to you not like yourself with two arms and two legs, neither are they two-headed monsters with many arms and legs, nor are they like anything else which may have been depicted in some Earthman's imagination. Instead you see them as beautiful glowing bodies of light which seem to be pulsating and throbbing, and there are different colors and quantities of radiation or light which seem to come from different places. When your sense of relationship is fully developed so that you form a true perspective of what you call form, shape, size, or density, in our dimensions, you will see that we will in consequence assume a proper relationship like in your Earth world. In other words, the appearance of our bodies may startle or shock many Earthians if they were to see us so, because of their firmly interwoven thought patterns and relationships conceived in their world. Actually, the many radiant portions and color spectrums which seem to come from different sections of our bodies relate, in their proper proportion, to their own senses or functions in our dimension or world as your various organs function for you in your Earth body. Thus you might say, We do have organs, but they are radiant energy sources. A few of your Earth people have a partial knowledge of this, as they often refer to them by the word chakra, I believe, centers of radiation which stem into the physical body from the psychic. However, getting back to the subject at hand, which is this particular room, these brothers and sisters of mine happen to be engaged in the concerted effort of sending forth healing rays into a certain ward in one of your Earth hospitals, which is filled to overflowing with small children who have been stricken with the disease of ignorance, which the Earth doctor calls polio. It is through the united efforts of these brothers and sisters that we will help many of these children to walk again. Likewise will the moments of fearful torture which is ahead of each of them be lessened by such healing ray projection. I see that a thought has crossed your mind, inasmuch as this room was in a particular way just a little auto-suggestive of some of the seance rooms which you have entered in your Earth life. It is fortunate that your own spiritual forces were sufficiently directed to steer you away from these practices. While I do not like to reflect criticism or appear jurisdictional, it can be truly said that such misuse and misunderstanding of man's psychic self is malpractice. It is pitiful to see thousands of fine, wonderful people depend on almost daily communication, through some medium, with their loved ones who have passed on. These are like small doses of some sedative, inasmuch as the individual becomes dependent upon the medium and cannot, and does not, face a more realistic position in their personal philosophy. It is a sign of weakness and lack of spiritual concept which causes a person to seek out such means of communion. The dangers and damaging results are increased a hundredfold when other phases, such as materializations, are entered into. Sitting about in a closed and darkened room, a person will, in his extreme anxiety, create such strong thought patterns of energy that he can be collected and entered into by cunning, conniving astral forces. There are very few people on your Earth plane who have the absolute ability of distinguishing such subterfuges. Many times will these astral forces not only use the duped energies in the assumed form and shape and identities of Earth people who have passed on, but will often, in the case of stronger and more advanced entities, actually pose as masters. May I say to you and to all of the people of the Earth, that no master has ever appeared at any seance, nor will he ever do so. The reasons are quite clear and obvious. In an abstract sense, a master does not need to appear to any person or persons for the purpose of impressing them in some way to live a better life. He does not need to do so. Masters would project through the inner person's consciousness. However, I believe the term master has been rather loosely applied. In my understanding of mastership, a master is a master when he is helping to direct and to teach large groups of individuals, each one of whom you might call a master. In other words, you may have referred to us as masters, yet we are humbly observant of much greater intellects who are helping to guide our destinies. Let not the word master confuse you. The word itself relates or is suggestive of some form of chained bondage. There is no chained bondage in our spiritual worlds. Attaining the proper balance and perspective of the relationships of the many planes results in a vast and integrated participating membership in which each individual is an active participant that rightly enjoys the fullest measure of spiritual companionship. Getting back to the seance room, let us say in conclusion that with them this is a cycle in the understanding, and to all those who participate in this philosophy, that inasmuch as it has been formed out of the fear of death, so will it pass from them. Being born into new spiritual realms and concepts, you will lose this fear and insecurity, and you will learn the true relationship and use of your psychic consciousness. I might add also that great harm is often incurred by the spirit entities which are so contacted. It is something like some great hand picking you up and setting you down in some far-off place where you had at one time suffered great fear and anguish. It is quite serious for many people who are newly born in some spiritual realm and are just beginning to, shall I say, walk, to be again confronted with some tearful friend or relative who, in their fears and insecurities, have sought them out. A true spiritual philosophy and practice of such contacts involves many factors of which you are not aware, as you do not have the proper sense of values and the relationship of the many astral worlds in which the newly born souls arrive. It is best therefore to adopt a more natural philosophical consciousness. We must know first, and it has been repeated countless times, that death is a word which means change and that your loved ones and friends do live, just as you will, until and beyond the place and time you call eternity. Yes, brothers and sisters of the earth planes, you indulge yourselves in many interpretations of what you call spiritual philosophy. There are some who are attempting to teach others a perfect way of life, and yet they themselves are no less fearful than their fellow men, and their very teachings come not from the high places nor from the word of God whom they profess to serve, but they speak and read from books the words of other men no less fearful. There are altars of worship where they teach that the mere belief in God and Avatar Christ means absolvence from their self-imposed sense of guilt. Let me say, friends, that the absolvence of sin and error comes only from within yourself and that you have used a destructive way. Your word repentance means this acknowledgement, and your salvation from this sin comes not from the priest of the temple but in the lesson you have learned and from your firm resolution to do better. You must know that this life of yours is contrived and fabricated of countless dimensions and evolutions, and that each succeeding lifetime is so woven and fabricated that it becomes your spiritual cloak, and within its radiant folds you will consummate a lifetime, yea, an eternity of service to your God through your fellow men. Look upward, my friends, always look upward, always live in the consciousness of continuity and acknowledgement of the cosmic fountainhead. See his waters flowing into you as these waters in turn flow outward into all things that you do. Chapter 15. In our last visit I made some rather strong statements. Since that time, I have been conscious of some chattering between you. I realize therefore that my statements could also cause even more chattering should they reach the eyes and ears of those more directly affected. I will not try to modify any of my statements. Be kind enough to me, however, to realize that I am trying to bring you an impartial viewpoint from a higher dimension and one which is based on much experience and fact. So I will repeat that no master has ever appeared or materialized in a séance room. If by chance you know of some instance in which a master supposedly made an appearance, I would severely question the position of both the medium and the entity or apparition. Now I do not infer that masters do not appear. Likewise, I place great value and emphasis on the correct use and understanding of psychic powers within their proper domain. There have been several masters who have lived on your earth in physical form. I need not mention that the one called Christ is the most outstanding example. Masters have also appeared in different ways and in some clairvoyant fashion, to some of the more highly evolved souls who have lived, or are living on your planet. In the Bible there are numerous cases. A master appeared to one called Moses and he wrote the Ten Commandments, out of which grew one of the oldest and strongest religions of your earth. After the crucifixion, the Master Christ appeared to Saul, or Paul, who founded a church, which later through a schism, became known as the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Churches. A master named Zoroaster also founded a pure monotheistic belief. A boy named Joseph Smith saw a master and under his guidance founded what is today a very powerful church in your America. I could go on and on. Yes, I could even remind you of your own partial transfiguration, when the prophet Elisha, who is a master, appeared to you, with a host of angels. Needless to say, such psychic happenings to any individual personalities have a great and powerful influence, which is usually marked by the appearance of some spiritual movement. Masters do not run around and appear at some person's whim or will in some small confined séance room. Theirs is a highly conceived way of life. Any movements and appearances which they make in earth plane existences are always premeditated, carefully planned movements which have had thousands of years planning in their making. There is of course some conjecture as to what an earth man may call a master. It is usually safe to say, however, that they do not assume a strong personal attitude. They do not go about proclaiming loudly that they are so and so. If you remember in your experience that although Elisha spoke to you, he did not call himself by name. You, however, knew instantly who he was. I could spend much time in discussing the innumerable facets relating to darkroom seances. There are very few mediums in your world today who can continue in any prolonged seance work without suffering some very serious physical or psychic damage. It is not a natural state for any earthman to discontinue, even temporarily, the use of his body. Even the most careful automobile drivers have accidents. Such accidents do happen to those who engage in conscious suspension, no matter how strongly fortified his protective forces may be. There is a much wiser and safer, and more natural type of mediumship, something which you call mental mediumship. Here the medium always assumes complete conscious control. There is less chance of a cleverly disguised entity gaining control. It should be borne in mind, however, that, like everything else, mediumship should be gone into gradually. It should not be assumed in one lifetime but in a number of lifetimes. It must have a preconceived purpose, which will result in thousands of years of training until it culminates as a useful science on the physical plane. Such mediumship is often expressed in many ways. A medium may thus be a doctor, or an artist or a clergyman, or she may be a nurse, such as Sister Kenny. Your own mind will recall 100 or so such mediums. Is it not better to see the infinity of God expressed in a beautiful and practical relationship rather than hearing a few weak voices from some unadjusted souls who have passed on into astral worlds? You may also question the validity of much of the material or teachings which may come from those you suppose to be higher forces. As I have said, the earthman has no criteria whereby he can distinguish to an absolute degree the authenticity of the identity of some entity who has entered a seance room. Many of the higher astral forces have comparatively great spiritual strength and understanding, comparatively, I say, to your earth plane, and consequently can reflect many wonderful and beautiful truths, but like the lower orders of Venusians who have gone astray in their overzealous efforts, they too must find, referring to the astral forces, that the darkened room is not the proper outlet for any philosophy which might appeal to the great masses who may be in dire need of such truths. I have taken up enough time in this discourse, in fact I feel quite selfish, that my entire series of transmissions were so occupied, and to such an extent. However, as you have surmised, besides permitting you to expand your own consciousness, which must be done slowly, our exploration of Venus and our cities has a twofold purpose. You could not appreciate or understand our way of life without the proper mental foundation. You will be in a better position to understand many new and even greater truths which may come to you in future evolutions. For the moment, however, let us relax and stroll down the hall and enter some other room which may contain some great mystery. Here at the end of the hall is a doorway which leads into a nursery. You are wondering when I say nursery, inasmuch as I have said we do not have children. In this room, as you look about you, you will see large numbers of beautiful little bassinets which contain, shall I say, spiritual embryos. These are actually tiny psychic bodies or soul forms of infants waiting to enter a mother's womb on some earth at the moment of conception. Here you will see nurses, if you liken them to such, moving about and caring for, in various ways, these embryo souls. While I use the word embryo, each one of the tiny glowing forms which you see on these silken pads is actually, in some cases, a comparatively old soul. Many of those here in the room have already been through several births and several deaths. They are, as far as this room is concerned, however, people who have met with a sudden death or have committed suicide. It is one of our purposes and functions here on this planet to rebuild and reconstitute such violently dissipated causations, as in such cases there is a distinct damaging effect to the psychic body. You may also wonder that the entire personal identity of a human being could be contained in such small specks of light, but here again I must remind you of the word concept, and the factor of the relativity of space. While in a normal sense a person who has not suffered a serious catastrophe usually evolves into a new cycle of earth life with a complete psychic substructure, this being the composite amalgamation of waveforms which relate to his previous spiritual and physical evolution. However, the tiny discarnate psychic body which you see before you, is all that is left after the needed corrective therapy has been applied. Do not, however, confuse this psychic body with the superconscious of the individual. The real superconscious of any individual resides in another dimension as an integrated factor with the cosmic fountainhead. The psychic body which you see is actually only something like a link in a chain which connects the physical individual with the fountainhead. When you become acquainted with the true factors and ramifications which enter into understanding what I have just told you, it will be quite easy for you to figure out for yourself just what position any particular individual is in at that particular moment of retrospection. In other words, this knowledge will advance you, in some respects, to a point which is comparable to something like an adept. I might caution you, however, and all who read these lines, that the greatest respect and reverence for, as well as an extremely careful usage of this knowledge, is imperative. I have long considered the advisability of giving this knowledge, in the written word, to the earth peoples, with the advice of not only my fellow Venusians but of those from the upper realms as well. I have decided to do so with two provisions. First, that certain ultimate secrets shall not be given to you at this time. I am referring to the direct knowledge which would enable you to change your frequency relationship. I have also enlisted the aid of some vast astral agencies which will do much to correct any misusage which might arise if certain persons who read this book would use it for their own ends. Neither shall it be scoffed at or derided. May I say that any person who does so, laughs at God and at all of the creative principles of heaven and earth. I have shown you this nursery because I wish to implant it in the conscious minds of the future earth scientists who engage in corrective therapies which involve the human mind. After reading the truths which are contained in this written work, they will better understand in the treatment of some unfortunate misalignment that the patient can and often does incur his greatest distresses from some great negation in some previous life. We here on Venus do not have the power to remove these conditions, as this kind of therapy must occur only in a certain relationship and at a time when the physical, psychic and the superconscious are united in an individual, and with the individual's full cooperation. I feel that you will agree with me when I say that you have just received a very astounding revelation. Until next time. Malva. Chapter 16. A pleasant day to you, brother and sister. Because of the length of our previous transcription, I was forced to terminate our contact before the subject of suicide had been adequately covered. Because of the seriousness of this subject, and the large numbers of people who so terminate their lives, I believe it is well worth some additional time, using statistics which are currently available. It is said that in your America in the last year, about 19,000 persons voluntarily concluded their own lives. More than 100,000 additional persons attempted self-conclusion, in which fortunately for them, they were not successful, was in 1953, and added 2014, for 2012, the most recent year for which full data are available, 40,600 suicides were reported, making suicide the 10th leading cause of death for Americans. In that year, someone in the country died by suicide every 12.9 minutes. Many of these, however, will make future attempts as they were turned back into society without proper corrective therapy. Many of these self-conclusions were small children, young boys and girls. The cause which induced their willful action was extreme hatred, frustration and anger, against the whole world and particularly toward their parents, who in their tyrannical dispositions induced these strong emotional strains which cause the anger and hatred. It is no joking matter if I remind you of a popular song, which was built around the theme of a young girl who, having such feelings of anger and self-pity, threatened self-conclusion by eating worms. And while this song may have been invented for purposes of amusement, yet it can truly be said, it was inspired from fact. Most adults can remember that as youngsters at some time they thought of retaliation against their parents or others by self-conclusion. As children or adults, there are also numerous other causes for this action. A person may feel a tremendous loss at losing his position, or she may have lost her husband, or there may be an incurable illness, or perhaps some form of lethargic neurasthenia which has been induced by the treadmill-like existence of your civilized way of life. But whatever the cause is, as they may appear on the surface, these can all be lumped together and called by one name, negation. Negation is also the primary cause and largest contributing factor in causing all the illnesses of mankind, and I make no exceptions. I believe that this statement will be verified to a large degree by most of your competent doctors. Negation simply means a sort of pinching off process, or a misalignment of the vital life energies, which flow into the mind and body through the psychic body and which come from the soul or superconscious, which is directly linked to the fountainhead. You may think that the air you breathe, and the food you consume, gives you this energy. But this energy could not be assimilated or converted without the dynamic intelligent life energy which flows at all times from the superconscious. If you will mull this over for a while in your minds, you will see the infinite number of possibilities and the many ramifications which are involved in this gradual pinching off, misaligning process which is induced by negation. The act of terminating one's own life has very serious consequences, inasmuch as when the act is performed there is an almost total separation from the life-giving superconscious, leaving the inert physical body behind. The discarnate entity quickly drifts off into some low astral realm. His thought body, which is composed of the reflected energies of his self-idea ego, are quickly dissipated, likewise much of the adhesive continuity qualities which hold the astral body together, as well as the alignment with the superconscious. We often find these bits of human wreckage floating half suspended in some darkened region. They are usually without form or intelligence and are quite difficult to handle, as they may break apart very easily. The earth term of bringing someone home in a sheet after a serious accident might be applied to these cases. Very often we bring these suicides back with us in an energy envelope or shroud, or they may be brought to us for treatment. Many of these cases are treated not only here on Venus but on other planets, or in other realms or dimensions which may be more suitable for certain cases which require special therapy. CX. The film Astral City, as you noticed last night as we were standing in the very large room which I called a nursery. The entire room was filled with a brilliant yellow radiance. No doubt you know that the colors you see are indicative of the purpose for which the room is being used. In the blue or purplish room there were healing projections being sent out, in which case the therapy used was in the ultraviolet portion of the spectrum and related more strongly to physical conditions pertaining to nerve breakdowns, such as in polio. In our nursery, however, the radiance here is of a more spiritual nature, and is being used in correcting and rebuilding badly damaged psychic bodies. As you see, each one of these is contained in a circular vessel constructed of crystal which I called, for want of a better name, bassinets. These vessels are all standing in regular rows upon crystal pedestals. Each vessel is partly filled with a soft energy mass, something like the ectoplasm which is produced in psychic trances in seance rooms. It was this soft white radiant energy which you at first thought to be silk. Now if you will step closer to one of these vessels and look within, you will see a small densely grouped cluster of gem-like bits of light, which seem to twinkle like tiny stars. If you had the proper power of conception, you would see that, like the more familiar earth atoms, these are all conglomerate masses or structures of tiny waveforms of intelligent energies. Each waveform, and its associated waveforms, carry an experience or a series of such experiences from the earth life of the individual. The body at which you are looking happens to be that of a 17-year-old girl who took her life about 500 years ago. She is waiting until a suitable opportunity and for the correct time, which will be about 100 years from now, when she will again be born into an earth life existence. I might say, however, that in any individual evolution, there are certain regularly spaced intervals between each incarnation, which are determined by a certain law of harmonic vibrations. When a suicide is reborn into the earth plane and again assumes the physical form, he will still be suffering from the effects of his previous self-destruction. It may take several earth lives before the full effects have been dissipated, and the psychic body has been rebuilt to its full strength. Looking again at the young lady before you in your consciousness, you do not see the silver thread which stems up into the room above you. This is something like what you might call a spiritual umbilical cord. Somewhere up in the room above, It branches off into many little threads of energy which contact and draw in the radiant energies which are focused upon it. Thus the psychic body is kept alive and flourishes and grows stronger as she awaits the time for her rebirth. Shortly before the time approaches for the actual moment of conception, she will be taken to the earth plane and placed in contact with the aura of her future mother, which supplies her energy until she enters the womb.